So it's my first day back after a couple of days off, and there is a lot to talk about. We are going to do a special next week, a network-wide special only on Blaze TV on this whole Biden controversy, and I urge you to invite people over to your house, get together at a bar or wherever, get together at church, watch it as a group and discuss what's going on and try to invite some people who may not be up on it. Because if you are getting your media sources are all from the left, CNN, even the New York Times today, dismissed this story as a non-story. They said the Republicans found nothing, which is completely untrue. We've got to not only make sure that everybody is seeing the whole story so they can decide for themselves, but also we're going to give you a constitutional stick that will make justice blind again. And it's going to be a very important special next Thursday.
I'm surprised you could find that story about the Biden crime family.
Took me a while.
In between all of the George Santos stories.
Can you please help me out on that?
Yes.
This guy was lying to get elected, right? He falsified
Right? And like the new accusation is he maybe took, he got on unemployment when he had a job, which I guess is the new accusation. And it's like, okay, look, I have no allegiance to George Santos. I don't even know who he is.
Like, I don't
honestly, I've never heard of him.
Is he New York?
New York. He's Long Island. Of course, okay. This is why it's a big story, because the New York Times, if this guy was in, even if this guy was a Republican in Nebraska, you wouldn't know the story probably at all.
No, I think you're wrong.
I think they're looking
for anything to show how evil and bad the Republicans are and to distract you from the Joe Biden thing. It is remarkable the lengths that they are going to hide the crimes of Joe Biden. The crimes. It's amazing. So we get into all of that and so much more. Today's a really packed podcast, and it's brought to you by Relief Factor. Let me tell you, the copy here in front of me says, pain's like walking uphill with a backpack full of rocks. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's written by somebody who hasn't lived a lifetime of pain. It's like walking uphill with a backpack full of rocks and somebody throwing razor blades at your face while you're walking. That's what it is. And then that big Indiana Jones boulder, it's still running from the first Indiana Jones, and it comes over the top of the hill and crushes you. That's what a lifetime of pain is like. Would you like to get out of that? 3-week quick start. It's Relief Factor. ReliefFactor.com. Go there now or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. 1-800, the number 4-RELIEF. $19.95, 3-week quick start. Get out of pain. Relief Factor. Feel the difference.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
All right. I want to start on the Biden thing. And please excuse me today, but I am a little sidetracked. And maybe later today I'll give you some information on what is happening. But nothing is happening in my life that isn't happening in thousands of Americans' homes. And I'm no different than you and what you're going through. So let's just get through what we can. I have not been paying attention to the news, but I have been paying attention enough to see what yesterday Jim Jordan revealed. 170 suspicious activity reports surrounding what he is calling the Biden crime family. This is something that, as our audience member, you have known since 2016, 2015. Peter Schweizer has been on this program often. And the first time I heard anyone mention crime and Biden in a serious, educated way was with Peter on this program when he said Joe Biden may be the most corrupt vice president in our nation's history. And that is continuing. All of the stuff that was released yesterday, the 170 suspicious activity reports, they all come from the Treasury Department. They were put together by the Treasury Department of our government in the Obama and Biden administration. 170 of those the committee has reviewed, plus thousands of pages of bank records that the committee has reviewed. And they have gotten these from four or five of the banks, but they believe there's as many as 12 banks involved. It looks like a very elaborate money laundering scheme of the Bidens. The Bidens are all involved. It looks like the entire family is involved, and not just immediate family members. And they are in receipt of millions of dollars. There are offshore LLCs that seemingly all of the members of the family have opened up another offshore business. I don't know what these people have done in the Biden family all to suddenly be receiving payments from foreign governments to the tune of millions of dollars. But that is exactly why this investigation is going on. The FBI and the Justice Department and the Treasury Department have been investigating this for years. It is clear they are not doing their job. And before we get into this, I just want to tell you, we have been working on this topic, and the biggest problem that I have, the reason why nobody cares, is not that we don't care. It's that we don't think any justice will be served. We now are at a point in our republic where we are so corrupt that we know if you're an elite, nothing will happen to you unless you're on the wrong side. If you're on the wrong side, of course you'll pay a price. You may even pay a price for something you didn't do. But you will pay a heavy price if you're on the wrong side of the New World Order. This is not America. We have been talking about this for several months internally, and next week we are going to do a special next Thursday. I'm going to do my regular Wednesday night special. It's going to be on AI, which is a really important topic. And then on Thursday night, we're going to be doing a network-wide special. I believe it will be at 8 o'clock on Thursday. I'm not sure yet. But we are going to give you the constitutional stick that will make justice blind once again. And we will have constitutional experts on. We will have law enforcement, former law enforcement, former prosecutors on. We are going to outline not only the crimes, but we are also going to show you exactly how to constitutionally, I'm not going to give you any more than that right now. We are going to, I don't want to reveal it in, give anybody any time to prepare an answer against it. Just know justice will be blind if you do your part. There will be consequences. The special is the Biden crime family, The Reckoning, next Thursday, I believe at 8 p.m. Eastern. Okay, so Stu, there is no explanation on what any of these family members do to get the millions of dollars. How many offshore LLCs do you have?
I have zero offshore LLCs.
Okay. Well, that's different than me because I have none.
Oh, okay, so I have
none.
Zero.
You have zero. Okay. I have none.
Totally different number.
I don't know anybody that has an offshore LLC, and I don't clearly know what they're doing. I don't think I know anyone with an offshore LLC, But I do know people who have companies overseas, and I don't know if that would count as an offshore LLC.
Right. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I don't think it does. I think that's legitimate. The offshore is like a way to launder money. And I don't know anyone that has that. I don't know any legitimate reason for having an offshore LLC for a business that you don't really do anything. It's not right. Your business. It's,
you know, you're talking about a shell company.
Correct.
Right? A pass-through where this money is just being funneled from some foreign entity into a shell company and then being distributed to Biden bank accounts.
So there's some new information. The Romanian businessman who was charged in a bribery scheme in Romania funneled more than $1 million to Hunter Biden and other family members of the then Vice President Joe Biden. And Joe Biden was at the time going over to Romania, and he was saying the same thing he was saying in Ukraine, which was, do you remember?
We have to stop the corruption.
Stop the corruption.
Yeah.
And so he and George Soros partnered together to stop all of the corruption. So he was over preaching anti-corruption members in Romania, and the businessman who later went to jail for corruption wired more than $3 million into the account of Rob Walker. Rob Walker is also the guy that worked with the Bidens in China that got another $3 million from the China Energy or whatever. And that was split up into a whole bunch of different Biden's accounts. So 16 of the 17 wire payments were made while Joe Biden was in office.
Oh, so not all of them were made while he was in office.
Exactly right.
16 of 17.
Yes.
Yeah.
And in 2014, a year before the payments began, he went and called corruption a cancer and a form of tyranny before the prime minister and the parliament. They began then, right after that trip, Hunter goes over and starts doing business with this corrupt businessman. He was facing an investigation for fraud and bribery. So what does the younger Biden do? He recruits the former FBI director, Louis Free, FBI, to work on the case, to see if they can help him get out. Free leaned on his FBI contacts and his State Department contacts and Romanian officials to intervene in the case. Now, this is all outlined in the Hunter Biden laptop, and all of the wire transfers have been verified by the banks. It didn't work out. In 2017, he was sentenced to 7 years on charges of fraud and bribery. So now we have the Biden family. We have the State Department in not only Romania, but also in Ukraine. And we have the FBI. Now, why wouldn't the FBI be investigating the FBI's role in the Hunter and Joe Biden crime family business? Gee, I can't imagine. They are also investigating the relationship with another guy, a former Serbian foreign minister who worked with the CEFC, that's the Chinese energy company. This guy contacted Biden in December of 2015 while he was still vice president to arrange a meeting with the chairman, Xi Jinping, according to the emails from the laptop. They made a $3 million suspect donation to the other guy from Serbia, his, quote, think tank, the Center for International Relations and Sustainable Development. Let me say that again. The think tank for international relationships and sustainable development. They got $3 million, and then $1 million of that was wired again to the Biden family.
Same percentages almost on every one of these transactions.
Every single one.
Yeah, right around a third.
One third.
30 to 33%, right in there.
Correct. Mm. Then, right after that, Hunter Biden arranged for this Serbian think tank, you know, sustainable development guy to meet his father's security advisor. Because he was trying to run for the United Nations Secretary General. Okay, so now let's see what we have. The last one, we had the State Department and the FBI and Joe Biden and his family. Okay, in Romania. We also know the same thing happened in Ukraine. This one we know involved also the FBI, the White House, the banks. Who else am I missing here? The Biden family and the State Department. Now a third one with Serbia, and Serbia involving itself in another sustainable energy deal. What was the deal in Ukraine?
International relations and sustainable development.
Oh, yeah. And it involved corruption, anti-corruption, and energy. Huh. And China, too.
Yeah.
This is, it seems weird.
Like a pattern.
And it's, yeah, and it's always the same amount of money going to the Biden family, who have no experience on any of this stuff.
Certainly Hunter doesn't.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. Correct.
And so,
and now let me just add, this last one involves now the United Nations and the United Nations sustainable. Are you feeling good yet about global warming and all of the money that is going over to Ukraine and all of the money that we're giving, for instance, that $1 billion to China for sustainable development? Anybody feeling good about this? Back in just a minute.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program, and we really want to thank you for listening.
So this week, immigration is on everybody's mind, or should be. And the administration is saying they're doing all that they can, and they've suddenly seen the light, et cetera, et cetera. Really? Let me give you this story. Biden DHS coordinating illegal immigration inflows with Mexico. In recent days, large crowds of immigrants have formed on the Mexican side of the Rio Grande, fully prepared to swim over well-worn crossing spots to Brownsville, Texas, but seemingly held back by unarmed Mexican immigration officials. Over the course of the last several days in northeastern Mexico, when perhaps 3,000 immigrants a day swam over to Brownsville with no opposition on either side, a curious pattern has become evident. At some sort of signal from the Mexican immigration officers, a group of about 100 to 150 from the crowd would suddenly stand in unison and rush down to the riverbank, past the immigration officers, and swim over to America. It seems this pattern was far from happenstance. The Center for Immigration Studies asked several of the Mexican immigration officers what was going on and learned that President Joe Biden's Department of Homeland Security has been coordinating these mass swims with Mexico's Immigration Service. The officers explained that their senior officers were in touch with U.S. Customs and Border Protection officials about how many immigrants were gathered and prepared to cross the river at any given time. We're letting them know that there's a group of people ready to cross. The Americans on the other side would ask the Mexicans to hold back the migrants, not because it's illegal or should be blocked and obstructed, but only until the Americans had finished processing the last batch into the country through Brownsville. Can this actually be true? Well, the guy who found this pattern, Todd Benzman, is on with us. He is the author of the book Overrun. He is also a senior fellow at the Center for Immigration Studies, and he is on the border now. Welcome. Todd, how are you?
Doing great. Thank you. A little bit tired.
I bet you are. So tell me, that's true that this is happening?
I believe it to be true. I interviewed five different Mexican immigration officials, line officers who were down there, who didn't know each other, didn't know I was asking the question. And then I have also confirmed it with a very senior state of Texas official who told me that they found out about this a week ago. This has been going on for 2 weeks now. And issued a complaint with the Biden administration, and that the state of Texas was told that this would end. They would end this thing. But obviously they have not ended it, because I watched it happening, and the Mexican officers were telling me what they were doing. And, of course, the problem here is, DHS is supposed to, by law, they're statutorily mandated to stop, block, and deter illegal immigration between ports of entry. But in this case, at least here in Matamoros, I don't know where else it's happening. I'm guessing it probably is happening everywhere. They were coordinating the illegal swimming over. And that is a violation of law, but it's also kind of a moral issue. If somebody were to be to drown or get hurt on these swims, that's a problem.
Well, I'm sure that's what the White House would say. We're just trying to make sure that everybody stays safe. Well, the way to do that is to lock down the border, quite honestly. The Title 42, the news today is Joe Biden has seen the light, and he's got a new plan. Can you tell me about that?
Well, I don't know about much, if there was something new over the last 24 hours, but the plan that is in place is called Title 8. I mean, the one that's supposed to replace Title 42 is Title 8 Expedited Removal. And what they have been telling the immigrants and us, the American public, is that if you come in illegally and we catch you, we will put you in removal proceedings, deportation proceedings. And that even if you apply for asylum, we're going to say no, because you didn't apply in another country. And then we'll put a 5-year ban on you from ever entering the country again. So kind of tough Trumpian sticks and consequences.
Uh-huh.
But now they a day or two ago, they announced, we're not so sure about that 5-year ban thing. We will give you the option of voluntarily returning to Mexico to avoid that option, which, of course, just sets them up to just cross again, without any consequence, if they do self-deport. But what really probably is going to happen, and what we're at risk of seeing, is that when all these people start to come in, the administration will be unable to implement these plans, because the facilities are already full. There's nowhere to hold people, so they would have to do what they call safe street releases. People just wandering around. We've seen video of that in El Paso and McAllen and elsewhere over the last 2.5 years of this thing.
Before we move off of that, can you just take a second? And for people who have not been to the border or not paying attention, have not seen the video, these people in Chicago say, you're just breaking down our city with all of these immigrants that are coming here. No, they're illegals, and you are a sanctuary city, so take them. Can you explain what it is like in these little border towns and what they're dealing with?
Right. Well, so what happens is, for example, El Paso is a good recent example. I was in Juarez, the Mexican city across, just a few weeks ago, across from El Paso. And, thousands and thousands of Venezuelans mostly decided to just cross in and turn themselves in for processing. Well, there's nowhere to put them. So they overwhelm the system. They just crash the system, our infrastructure over there. And then they are just walking around El Paso unprocessed, free to go and do whatever they want, nowhere to stay, no food, nothing. They're just, you know, wandering around by the thousands in El Paso. And I think we've seen the video of that. That is what Broken Arrow looks like. That's what Breakdown looks like. And we will very likely, we have seen that exact thing in many border cities. We've seen it from episodically during really big surges in McAllen and Brownsville and Laredo. We've seen that type of thing. And I think what the administration is telling the people, they just recently came out and said, hey, we are going to be doing safe street releases soon. Be prepared. Mm. These cities are declaring emergencies because they are going to be unable to, their police forces and their hospitals and their, you know, their own systems that are set up for their social welfare would be overwhelmed in a thing like this. And that's what they're preparing for. They're cleaning up El Paso now, rounding up everybody and processing them all into the country, by the way. The vast majority of these people that are apprehended after crossing the border eventually get released into the interior of the country.
They should not be released in any other city than a sanctuary city. The fact that these are being released into mainly red states is reprehensible. They should be released, if they're going to do this, into sanctuary cities. You want it, you should have it.
There's a slight problem with that, and that is that, you know, once immigrants are free on their own recognizance,
I know,
and they literally get personal recognizance papers, you know, they can go wherever they want, you know, nobody can stop them, but they do tend to like blue cities because the blue cities are giving them all the stuff.
Correct.
And I can tell you from, you know, first person accounts, and you know, I've been interviewing these migrants for 2 years straight. They are all on a lifetime intelligence network that everybody has cell phones. They're in chat rooms. And believe me, when the city of New York put everybody up in 5-star hotels, that word went straight back to the migrant trail, and everybody's like, yeah, let's head to New York. And that, now they're complaining and asking for federal bailouts. You know, welcome. You know, that's your what the gift of giving looks like.
So let me ask you, the news, mainstream media today in the White House is saying we're past the worst part of it. We've already, you know, everybody's expecting that it was going to be really bad this week, and we've already passed it. They've already come in, so it's not going to get any worse than this. True? False?
I think that it's false, but we'll have to see. And the reason is because, you know, Title 8, expedited removal, the way they've got it set up, is punched full of loopholes. So if you are a family, for example, with kids, and you cross over, this administration said that they will not detain them. So that means they're just all going to get released immediately.
So you won't be able to see any big gatherings.
You may actually see a lot of big gatherings. If once the families, so what they're doing is they're here in camps. I'm in Matamoros. There's a huge camp here. There may be upwards of 10,000 people over there. It's a 2-mile long camp all along the riverbank, and everybody is there waiting to find out if the first vanguards who cross after midnight tonight, what happens to them. The whole world is on the edge of their seats down here looking to see if the administration is able to deport them back. If the administration is unable to deport them back, there will be a mad rush. Everybody I've talked to over here, dozens and dozens and dozens of migrants here on the Mexican side are telling me, we will go immediately at the first hint that they're letting them into the country. So that's what to look for. That's what I'll be looking for. That's what the immigrants are going to be looking for.
Todd, can we have you on again tomorrow just to give us the update?
Sure. And I'll be happy to come on. I want to tell you, though, that it may take a few days for the first ones that cross for people to see what happens to them. And then that word will spread like wildfire on all the cell phones.
So let's do this. Let's do this. Tomorrow, we'll just check in with you quick to see, are they letting people in? And then maybe you come back on Monday and tell us what is happening now.
Happy to do it.
Okay.
Happy to do it. I'll be writing about this, too. I've got a piece up this morning in the New York Post about this controlled flow scheme that I've uncovered here between the DHS and the Mexicans. And I've got another piece about to go in the Daily Mail as well.
Okay.
Just in an hour or so. So I am reporting in my Twitter. I'm doing a lot of video, live time video from the border. I've been videotaping, you know, hundreds and hundreds, I think thousands of immigrants being released over the river into the United States.
All right, Todd, thank you. You can follow him on Twitter at Bensman Todd. That's Bensman, Bensman Todd. Or you can find him on the website, toddbensman.com. We will talk to you again briefly tomorrow to see what if we're turning him away or not. And we'll take it from there. Todd, thank you. Stay safe. God bless.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Best of the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. There's so much going on that we're going to get to the Joe Biden. We already got to it. Spent the first hour of this podcast on the Joe Biden thing, and it is really very important that you know what's happening with this, and you tell your friends, because half the country is completely in the dark. Nobody covered it. Nobody covered it in mainstream media. The New York Times ran a story today. It says the Republicans have found nothing on Joe Biden. Write this story as if it's all make-believe. It is incredible. NBC is the only mainstream network that I saw cover it, but they covered it as a very unimportant story and said basically the same thing. Next Thursday, I'm doing on Wednesday night, I always do my Wednesday night special. Wednesday night special next week is all about AI. You will learn more about AI and hear the discussion that we must have as a society. That's Wednesday. But we have decided that we have been talking about this for a while, that what does it matter if they find him, you know, find videotape of Hunter and Joe stabbing people to death? There's not going to be any consequence. They're part of this elite group that what's the guy's name that everybody was talking about yesterday? Santos?
George Santos.
Okay. He was
who?
Making stuff up. And this is the crime of the century mm-hmm. to the mainstream media. He's doing stuff that Joe Biden has done since 1972. Okay. And I'm not saying that we should dismiss it or anything else, but there is no comparison. And the mainstream media was all over that. And not about Joe Biden. And the reason why so many people who are fans of ours say, I don't even care about that, is because they know nothing will happen. Next Thursday, I've had enough of the two-tier justice system. And this is wrong and dangerous. And I don't care what you call it, a democracy or the correct term, a republic, cannot survive like this. So justice needs to be blind. Next Thursday night at 8:00, I'm going to go through on a gigantic chalkboard exactly the case that has been lined out. I will show you as much of the evidence that we can get our hands on. And then I'm going to give you a stick. A constitutional stick that will blind justice again. There are ways to get this done, legal and constitutional ways to make sure that justice is had. And I'll give you all of that next Thursday night. I think it's going to air about 8:00. We'll let you know next week. It's called The Reckoning.
the Biden crime family. I invite you to please bring neighbors and friends together and watch it together. Have one person who just isn't paying attention, maybe, come, so you can discuss it with them. That is next weekend. Things are getting very dicey. We talked earlier in the podcast. Again, this is a very important podcast for you to listen to today if you have time, if you missed any of the show. We talked about Tucker Carlson going to Twitter and how important that is, and how we are already in talks with Elon Musk's people about carrying either exclusive, additional, or the show on Twitter as well. It is not a platform to carry the shows. Now, Elon may want to do that, but as of right now, he is not a competitor. He is offering a public space where it's the safest public space for anybody with opinions to be heard. It's you are allowed to actually speak your mind and then defend it in a rational and reasonable way. There's no secret police involved at Twitter. And as long as it stays that way, I urge everyone on the left and everyone on the right to get involved with Twitter, because it is a chance to restore the public square where we can all just have the battle of ideas. That's critical, critical. Meanwhile, the government is being weaponized on all fronts. You know that earlier this week, they started yet a new agency to oversee all of the other agencies that are looking for mind crimes, crimes of speech and misinformation. Meanwhile, the ATF is now out, and I'm going to play some really disturbing video. A man who's claiming to be the owner of Moonlight Industries, this is a company that specializes in making chest rigs for special forces operators, he posted a video on YouTube showing two ATF agents visiting him and saying that they're there to pick up a recently purchased, legally purchased FRT. This is a device that resets the trigger faster than others, and if you replace your trigger with this trigger, it's much faster. And so now the ATF, after these being sold legally, now they're saying you have to turn them in, they're illegal, could be a felony. They show up at this guy's house. Well, you don't have to register an FRT. What how did they even know? Listen, and if you're watching the Blaze TV, watch what happened.
So the reason why we're here is because, I don't know, I'm sure you're aware that just recently the ATF classified the FRTs, the force
sure.
reset triggers,
mm-hmm.
as machine guns. Yeah. So we are aware that you may have purchased some of these FRTs.
Okay.
So now we are having, like, the whole agency is basically reaching out to these purchasers.
That's incredible.
And we have to... pick them up. You know, they're illegal. So
I won't be answering any questions today. I don't have any comments on this subject. I won't be giving you anything.
Okay, so you...
are you refusing to give us the trigger?
I'm not refusing anything. I won't be answering any questions.
Okay. So we are aware that you did purchase FRTs. Again... Mm. You wouldn't be in trouble if you just give those up to us, or okay. if you sold them, you can tell me you sold them.
Sure.
You know, okay. and you, again, you're not going to be in trouble for that.
I understand.
So we're just here, honestly, like, just to pick them up.
Sure, sure.
I don't disagree with you at all.
I understand.
I don't want to be here any more than you want me to
sure.
be here.
Sure. Well, it's the problem is you are the people who go and knock on the doors, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when they make new laws and you break them, or you go against the citizens, because they've spoken what they buy and what they do. The citizens are speaking, but the government is making their decisions on what they think. They're not being servants to the citizens, right? And I understand you have families to feed. You're just doing what you're told so you don't get fired from your job. But there is a problem that exists, and at some point you have to make your decision on which side of the team you're on. So I won't be answering any questions. If I'm not being detained, I'm not under arrest, I'll just be leaving now. Okay. I won't be able to help you with what you're trying to find.
What do you do in that situation?
Not what he did. I mean,
no.
I do what he did is say, you know what? I really respect you stopping by. I'll be contacting my attorney, and because this is the first time hearing about any of this, and I can't make any comment or help you at all because I'm not sure exactly what you're talking about or what's legal, what's not legal at this point.
You have to go through my attorneys.
Are you refusing? No, not at all. I appreciate the professionalism that you've displayed, and I'm a good American citizen, and I respect the law. I just can't help you today because this is coming as a surprise to me.
Now, could they do something here? Could they force him to do it? Could they arrest this person?
I don't know. I mean, it's the ATF. They can make it up as they go along now.
Apparently.
So, but what they're trying to do, I think, is put people into categories. Notice they say, are you refusing? Once you refuse, that opens up a whole bunch of other legal doors. Okay. Mm. So there's a great guy. Ask one of our producers. They know we had him on the air for our special on the out of control weaponization of government. When we did that special, he's a guy who makes videos. They're on YouTube. You may have seen him. I just can't remember his name off the top of my head. But he goes through this and shows you exactly how to react. Because once they use words that you may not think, like, are you refusing? Well, yeah, I mean, right now I am. No. Mm. Because by saying you're refusing, it puts you into another category.
You said earlier on the show that you believe this audience was the most prepared audience out there. And this is exactly what you're talking about, right? Who would have thought this is a thing you had to deal with? But if you were if you're on Blaze TV, if you were watching, you would have already known those details.
Yeah.
But this is the type of stuff you have to be prepared for now.
Yeah, you cannot look at an agent of the federal government as the way you used to look at them. We used to look at them and like, dude, it's the FBI. I'll help you any way I can. What do you need? We're all on the same team. No, we're not necessarily on the same team. I'm on the team that is supporting and defending the Constitution of the United States of America, and I will follow to the letter, the Constitution of the United States of America. But I don't think that everyone on the other team is doing so. All the way to the president, they pick and choose. You have the president right now talking about just taking the power of the debt ceiling and just saying, I'm just going to raise it. Well, you can't. That is constitutionally illegal for the president to do, but he knows, and they keep doing these things over and over and over again. Doesn't matter what the Supreme Court says, doesn't matter what the Constitution says. Well, to many of us in America, it does. And I'm not a revolutionary. I am not calling for the overthrow of the American government or the overthrow of our system. I'm asking for the implementation of our system. I'm the one saying, excuse me, you have taken revolutionary tactics here, and you are not protecting, defending, or even reading the Constitution, something you took an oath to protect and defend. I didn't take that oath. You did. And you are no longer doing those things. So I can't help you. I'd like to, but I can't help you right now. And I'll talk to an attorney, because this is just coming as a surprise to me. I don't know. And I want to be absolutely law abiding and do the right thing, but I don't know what's going on.
It shouldn't be our relationship with the government.
No, it shouldn't be. But it is the relationship all of our founders said we should have. I mean, George Washington, when he's president, he said, basically, don't trust me. Don't trust any of us. Don't.
Yeah.
Man is man, and government should be viewed as a fire. When you're in control of it, it's great. When it's in control of you, it's deadly.
Yeah. No, but that's different. This is, it's almost a fearful reaction. You're almost, what you're describing is someone who's fearful.
They've given you reason.
And they, you should be. I'm not saying you're wrong,
yeah.
Believe me. But I mean, you know, you think of the people, by the people, for the people. That's not a description of that.
You know, I have to tell you, I've never seen the government look at its citizens as the problem. Never seen that. And that's what's happening now.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flare over it that I wouldn't be seated. So I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.